Welcome to Marketplace Kingdom, the podcast series from the Empowerment Institute and One Rock Strategics. Our ongoing purpose is to provide you with biblical perspectives and practical strategies for understanding the times and advancing God's kingdom right where you are. We're committed to presenting thought-provoking conversation and encouragement by bringing you guests who share their own stories and insights on being authentically Christian and demonstrating Christ's love and lordship in their own professional and personal spheres of influence. We want to share ideas that you can use to bring Christ's redeeming and transforming power to your world in your day-to-day lives. I'm DJ Swanger, and my co-host is Pastor Dave Heisinger. Whether you're listening here in the U.S. or anywhere around the world, we're glad you're with us. Friends, I was recently reminded again of a time during Elisha's ministry when Israel was constantly being raided by neighboring kingdoms, sometimes by small bands of mercenaries and sometimes by entire armies. 2 Kings 6 contains the dramatic story of one such raid and God's direct intervention. The king of Aram had assembled his army and invaded Israel, targeting a key city just north of the capital. Strategically, they outnumbered the locals. They were better equipped, and victory was a certainty to any logical observer. From the vantage point of a mountain overlooking their encampment, Elisha's servant saw no good options. He saw the city completely surrounded by infantry, horses, and chariots. Despairing, he asked Elisha, "My Lord, what shall we do?" "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered cryptically. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And then Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Now there are times in our own day-to-day lives when we can be overwhelmed by what circumstances seem to say. All the principles, all the logic, all the strategies in the world just seem to fall short. Even our friends agree. Defeat is a logical certainty. Just face reality. God must be trying to teach us something. But maybe there's another reality at play. Maybe God is interested in teaching us something by doing something, something extraordinary. Maybe, like the prophet's servant, we need to have our own eyes opened to the reality that those who are with us are more than those who are with them. In this episode, our conversation centers on this other reality and on living our daily lives with eyes truly open, experiencing God's presence here and now, dreaming dreams and seeing visions and angels right where we are. Let's get started. Dave, we've covered a lot of territory over the last few weeks. Things like permission to be desperate, and being released to be who Christ has made us to be right where we are. And today, I wanted to look back at some key points and some key takeaways from some of our past guests. I want to encourage our listeners to go back to past episodes and listen again to what our guests have brought to the table, as we've talked about how they walk out a kingdom mindset and a kingdom heart set in their own situations. It struck me as I was praying about this recently that when Jesus was born, there were shepherds in the fields, and those shepherds were visited by angels right where they were. First one showed up, then a countless number. And there's nothing in the narrative to indicate that they were looking for an angelic visitation. There's nothing to indicate that they were even particularly religious. They were shepherds out in the field doing shepherd stuff. Suddenly there are these angels in their field. So I'd like to circle back to this idea that the gospel of the kingdom is more than merely a gospel of personal salvation. It's about allowing God to exercise his transforming power and loving reign in every sector of our life and experience. Now, sometimes it's hard to see how the Bible could have anything to say about what we do professionally, what God's Spirit might have to say. But I remember our conversations with Ted Kalman and Ron Jimerson. Both of them gave examples of how listening prayer had resulted in innovative approaches being developed for their work in their particular fields. How a CEO in a boardroom could hear from God about the specifics of when and where to build a distribution center. How a crazy in love with Jesus black ex-con living on the wrong side of the tracks could listen to the Holy Spirit for strategies that would transform lives and neighborhoods and cities. And then Dirk Isles and Norman Christopher both brought stories of the impact of a kingdom perspective that sees all of life, our gifts, our abilities, our talents, resources, relationships, finances, even the earth itself as a gift from God that we don't own, a gift that we need to receive with profound gratitude and faithfully steward right where we are. Personally, I love Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of John 1:17, that the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. In Jesus, the very presence and person of God moved into the messy, complicated, multifaceted mix that human life is. And then he lived it. He celebrated it. He baptized it. He cried with people. He laughed with people. He went to weddings. He went to funerals. And then he gave himself up to redeem and transform it. So it makes sense that the first announcement of his arrival on the scene in Luke's narrative is to a bunch of shepherds minding their own business, out in the fields just being shepherds. And then suddenly, there were angels in their field. And the glory of God, the presence, and the blinding light of God, the power of God that shook the mountains, shone all around them, and it terrified them. It invaded their field. And still the angel of the Lord, the lead angel, told them not to be afraid. He said there was something new breaking in. There was hope and promise being fulfilled, and nothing would ever be the same. And I kept thinking, we keep talking about advancing God's kingdom right where we are, in every part of life, but I'm still wondering if we really grasp what that can mean, and what it should mean. What can it be like if we let the Spirit of God open our eyes to see the angels standing in our own fields? What can happen when God's glory and presence and power shine in us and all around us in our own fields? And I thought about Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples in the upper room, and they immediately took to the streets. And all the crowd thought that they were crazy or drunk. And yet Peter gets up saying, "Really? Don't you see what's happening? This is only what was spoken of by the prophet Joel, when he wrote, 'In the last days, God says, I'll pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions.'" And he offers this explanation in the street. It wasn't in some lecture hall. It wasn't in church. It was in the street, in the marketplace. And I guess it caused me to wonder if we don't need to encourage people right where they are, in their field, to welcome the Spirit, to welcome the presence, to welcome the angels, and to dream some dreams, and to see some visions. And then get desperate and crazy and willing to tear off a roof to find healing for someone, if that's what it takes. This is where I've been going in my prayers recently. How does that strike you?
First, it is very beautiful that the Lord doesn't measure humanity with the same criteria that humans measure humanity. The Lord sent his son to be born in a stable, right? With shepherds in a field nearby. And angels didn't appear to the aristocracy, but to the shepherds. I love how even Jesus says in Matthew 18, we must become like children to enter the kingdom of God. The Lord has a different criteria. But in that, I agree with you, Don, that every redeemed child of King Jesus has a place of value, a sphere of influence that the kingdom of God needs to go into. And there is no hesitation on the part of our King, the part of our Lord, in sending angels to walk alongside every one of his children. Psalm 91, he will assign his angels concerning you. And I completely concur that the Lord has designed things this way from the very beginning. If you look at the authority structures, we can read about this in Charles Craft's book, I Give You Authority. Charles, in the first chapter of his book, gives a breakdown of the authority structures of the earth and how God set it up prior to creation, after creation, and then after the fall of man, and then what happens in Christ. And in that authority structure, we see very clearly that prior to creation, God has ultimate authority, and then under him is archangels, and under them are angels. And then, after he creates man, it's God with ultimate authority, and then man, men and women, humans, and then archangels, and then angels. And Satan was in that mix as an archangel, right? And he was under man. And that might be one of the reasons why he was rebelling, because God was saying, I'm so excited, I'm going to create image bearers who will have dominion over the earth. And the devil saying, no, I want dominion. So he rebelled, man sinned. And then this, the Bible gives us a pretty clear picture of what happens. The authority structure is God, and then the devil, and then man, and then archangels and angels. We, by our sin, allow the devil to have such power. But in Christ, we take that authority structure back to how God created us. And it's not just the kings who do that, it's the paupers. It's not the sage wise men, it's the little children. Us, God's people, are all called into a redemptive place where the angels serve us, are assigned to help us as we bring the kingdom of God. In fact, Paul says it in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. He says that we are called to bring the mystery of the kingdom to the rulers of the air. Why? We are the ones with the authority over them to declare the kingdom of our God. And as we go forward, and this has been the theme, everyday people, an executive in a boardroom, listening to the Holy Spirit, speaking the authority of the living God with the place to do this, with rulership in God's kingdom over his company. A young African-American man, ex-con, living on the other side of the tracks, wondering how in the world can he make a difference in the world. Trained to hate white people, is transformed by the power of God, placed in a situation of authority to bring the kingdom of heaven into places of healing in our society that few others can do. How does God do this? The restoration of breaking the neck of sin and defeating the strength of the devil in Jesus Christ raises man back to our rightful place. And one other theme I'd like just to add to what you've given us is that the church has had a difficult time by getting in the way of that. Instead of raising up disciples and sending them out, we've instead coddled disciples. And we've invited them in, and we've made them fat, and we've made them consumers. And that's not a biblical picture. A biblical picture is that God sends his church out. He empowers us with his word. He assigns his angels concerning us, and he gives us the authority to bring his kingdom into our spheres. No matter who we are, no matter how rich or poor, no matter how fat or skinny, no matter how strong or weak, no matter how intelligent, he sends us with the authority of the kingdom of heaven, restored back to that authority structure in which he created us.
So, Dave, practically, what does that look like for Joe Business Guy, or the janitor, or the teacher in day-to-day life who wants to be an influence for the kingdom? How do they listen and hear practical details about how to do teaching or business or my janitorial work or whatever? How do they do that? How do they listen? How do they experience this presence of God that we talk about? When we talk about angels, isn't that just magical thinking?
Well, first, number one, they watch as many Disney movies as they can. Oh, Hollywood has tried to tell us that all things spiritual are just magical. They've been trying for a long time. Yeah, such a great question, Don. It does begin with a worldview shift, doesn't it? Don't we need to analyze our worldview and say, do I allow God to be influential in my life? Do I even adhere to a worldview that says that there is a spiritual realm that impacts my soul and my life? In Western America, after a few hundred years of the growth of logic and reason and philosophies that puts man into the center of our worldview, and God so distant, and evolution that threatens to throw God out and says we don't need him, or that binds God to some scientific theory of evolution, we don't even need God any longer. So our worldviews get skewed, and we forget that there is even a spiritual world, that we are spiritual beings. And so step number one is probably just starting at the basement level, is saying, what is my worldview? Do I believe in a active, engaging God, a risen Jesus who is actively involved in my life? That a father, Matthew 6, you know, he clothes the lilies of the field. He gives the sparrow a nest where she may feed her young. Does he not much more care for me and clothe me, make me beautiful? Is he actively engaged in my life? Do I believe this? And do I believe that the Holy Spirit speaks into my world? And do I believe that he assigns angels, and that I can actually reach out with my spirit being and hold their hand, and that I can actually hear the language of the angels, and I can participate in the words of the Holy Spirit, even if it's beyond my own native tongue? Do I believe in an active, engaging God as spirit? That's a worldview question. And I dare say that our Western listeners are less apt to have that kind of belief, even if they've been going to church their whole lives. They've been trained that their God is silent, and that he only speaks to us in the written word, and that it's up to us to make this world different on our own. And they have no understanding of a worldview that that says God is alive and engaging and active. So, Don, I think the first step that I would say is, how about analyzing our worldview?
Okay.
Second step is then learning to listen to the voice of God in circumstance, in walk, in the word, written word, through other people, through our own experience. How does the Spirit of God speak? How does he lead? And learn to listen. I love Hebrews 4, verse 12, when the writer of Hebrews says that the word of God is a double-edged sword. It talks about piercing deep inside, and then it says divides soul and spirit. One of the reasons that I love to read the word is because I'm healed, I'm released. My spirit is released from my soul, and I can hear the Spirit so much better when I'm in the word of God. He divides my soul that is being pounded on by the world around me. He divides my spirit from my soul so that I can hear and encounter and participate and cooperate with the Holy Spirit. So step two is learning to listen. And part of that is spending time with him in his word.
And I think in addition to spending time in the word, just spending time actually listening and expecting to hear.
Expecting is a worldview thing. Believing that he's actually speaking. I love in the beginning of Proverbs when the writer, inspired by the Spirit, tells us, let me pull it up here a sec, tells us that, referring to calling the Holy Spirit by the title of wisdom, and he says that wisdom is shouting in the streets. Proverbs 1, verse 20. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. And then he says, how long will you simple ones love your simple ways? If you had responded, I would have poured my heart out to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored my advice and would not accept my rebuke, and then it's like we're closing the windows, right? We don't want to hear the Spirit shouting in the streets. We don't want to hear his wisdom. We don't believe it. So expectation is opening our windows wide and listening to his voice.
And I think there is a distinct need for us to learn how to quiet ourselves.
Yes.
And cut out the white noise around
Yes.
us.
Amen.
So that we can hear from him. Because, you know, there's so much to distract us.
Yes.
You sit down in a restaurant and you see folks who, even 10 years ago, you would expect to be sitting in a restaurant, in a booth, chatting with each other and in animated conversation. And there may be four people in a booth and none of them are saying a word. They're all staring at their phone, texting.
Yes.
You know, they're not even connecting. They can't unplug long enough to communicate with one another face-to-face. And they certainly aren't in a place of experiencing that face-to-face encounter with the presence of God in their lives.
It's not just a American situation. That's a global problem.
Yeah, it's global. You know, I always end up coming back myself to this passage where God was speaking. It wasn't Moses describing his relationship with God. God was speaking and describing his relationship with Moses. And he said to the people, you know, other prophets I speak to in riddles. I give them little hints, and they have to dig it all out.
Yeah.
But Moses is different. I have this thing with Moses where we speak mouth to mouth.
Yeah.
It doesn't say face to face. It's even more intimate than face to face. It's like a husband and a wife lying in bed together, so close that when they speak, breath hardly has to pass over their lips. They're that close, that intimate. They're speaking mouth to mouth.
Wow.
And that's how God describes his relationship with Moses. And I can't help but think that's the relationship he wants with us, where we are that close, we are that intimate, we are listening that closely. And if we're carrying that intimacy with us, then the Holy Spirit can speak through us, can make us an influence of wisdom, not just in a little study group, not just in church. But go back to the beginning of that passage you were reading. Where does it say wisdom cries out?
In the streets.
Yeah, in the streets, in the marketplaces, in the gates of the city. Wisdom calls out.
To the shepherds.
Yeah, to the shepherds in their fields.
To the man in the executive boardroom. To the young African-American child on the other side of the tracks.
Yeah.
To the teenager in school.
Yeah. To a group of business students in a classroom in Finland.
To hiding small groups of Christians in Pakistan.
To a West African pastor who starts every business meeting by going down through an agenda saying, how are we impacting family? How are we impacting business? How are we impacting media? How are we impacting government? How are we moving beyond the church and into the streets? It's amazing.
It is amazing. To a Ukrainian pastor who can't get enough people to attend his church, so he starts a youth camp and floods a camp with children, and has such a young church now that only a handful of people are over the age of 16. That man and his wife, they are listeners to the Holy Spirit. They are in the streets.
Well, Dave, I think the other thing about expectation that we need to address as believers is our culture teaches us, for the most part, to manage our expectations, to always have a plan B in place in case plan A doesn't work out. And on a broader scale, we are always, it seems, looking for ways to accommodate what is culturally. We have a shifting standard of what's normal and what's acceptable. We have shifting standards of what is moral. We have shifting standards of what is wise. And based on what that shifting standard is, we want to accommodate what is in the world around us, rather than moving toward a standard that is absolute. Again, it's a worldview thing. But moving toward what we're created to be, instead of baptizing what is. We're not dreaming dreams. We're not seeing visions. We're reacting to and accommodating. And how do we shift that? How do we let God kindle that fire, that passion for what can be and what should be?
I'm listening to the Spirit. Yeah. I'm thinking of the Apostle Paul and the conflict between his humanity and the work of the Spirit in him in Acts chapter 16. When the Apostle Paul wanted to fulfill his calling and bring the gospel into every Gentile place that he could physically get to, and working through the province of Asia and seeing the witchcraft hold on that province the temple of Artemis, or the goddess Diana and the witchcraft that came from that temple and its grip on the whole province, and how, you know, this man's human passion must have been powerful, but the Holy Spirit stopped him and said, not yet. You got to wait a few years. I've got some work to do here first, some groundwork to do. Let me send you to Macedonia and let's go that route first. It's not about us just working our tails off. Not about us starting things, pounding and pounding and not giving up. It's not about human ingenuity and human strength. It's about cooperation and interaction with the work of the Holy Spirit. And He increases our intelligence. He increases our capacity. He increases our wealth to be able to accomplish what needs to be accomplished. He increases our influence. He gives credence and integrity to our name, and He places us with calling in just the right places so that when we join Him and match His calling and listen to His voice, we can have expectation of the fullness of His power and His majesty and His presence and His glory.
And Paul, in listening to the Spirit of God in that moment, made what he probably calculated to be a minor adjustment in his own game plan.
Good insight.
God didn't come out and tell him, I'm not allowing you to go in and found more churches in Asia Minor. You've done a great job in Asia Minor, Paul, but I have something else. I want to use you and position you strategically to transform the face of the entire Roman Empire. He probably wouldn't have believed it if he had heard it. And yet by our doing what we're supposed to do, hearing from him in the moment by moment, things shift. Well, Dave, we're out of time for today, but would you close in prayer?
I would be honored. Well, Heavenly Father, listeners all over the world today are beginning to have faith and courage. They're beginning to come to you at this moment, this very moment, and say to you, all right, God, I will. I will. I choose to let you lead me, let you place me exactly where you want me to be. I choose to open up my heart, my mind to your voice, to listen to you, and so that you can speak to me and direct me to the places that you have called me to, where there are lives and souls waiting for the transforming power of God. I say, yes, I will, God, I will. Take me, fill me, place me, anoint me, and manifest in me. For I am yours. And yours alone. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray.
And Father, we ask you to use every one of us, Dave and I, and each of our listeners, to be lightning rods, attracting your presence and your power. To release your presence, your power, your glory, and your wisdom in our fields. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, that's all the time we have for today, but we'll be back next week. So until then, I'm DJ Swanger.
I'm Dave Heisinger.
You're in our prayers. Be blessed. You've been listening to Angels in the Streets, a conversation with Dave Huizenga and DJ Swanger. This and other episodes of Marketplace Kingdom are available for free online listening, download, and non-commercial redistribution under a 2017 Creative Commons copyright. Other resources are also available for free download at our global ministry website, sevenmountainalliance.webs.com. That's sevenmountainalliance.webs.com. Costs for our ministry activities and podcast are covered by the generous support of listeners just like you. For information on how you can sponsor a podcast or donate to our work, or to find out how you can have one of us as a speaker for your organization or event, email us at empowermentfriends@gmail.com. And if you want to catch up or binge listen to past episodes, they can still be accessed at onerockstrategics.podomatic.com. And be sure to share Marketplace Kingdom with your friends. You can also follow us on our Facebook pages, Empowerment Institute and One Rock Strategics. If you're a Twitter user, you can follow our activity by going to @DJSwanger, and you can join the conversation at #OneRockTribe. That's all for today. So until next time, remember, you are important to Jesus and to His kingdom, right where you are.